Hello and welcome to Turning Points. I'm Patricia Killeen and I'm delighted to chat today with Mariamne Everett, who works as a translator for the African Report magazine, and she also hosts the Hidden Paris podcast for World Radio Paris. She has also recently started work as a journalist for Radio France International one day a week. Welcome, Mariamne. I hope you're well.
Yes, thank you, Patricia. It's so nice to be here.
Mariamne, I think you're a third culture person. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I actually just heard about that term recently from Tendai, our mutual friend. But so my mother is American. My dad was British. I was born in Italy, and I grew up between Italy, the US, and Ireland. And I actually left Cork for Paris when I was 12 years old. I came to Cork when I was 12 and I came to Paris when I was 22.
Okay. And how long have you been living in Paris now?
So I've been here 6 years.
And what brought you here, Mariamne?
So contrary to a lot of people, it was not love. I'd actually finished my music degree and I didn't really know what to do with myself. So I figured, okay, I'll come to Paris for a year, teach English, learn some French, and then go back home and maybe do a master's. And clearly that didn't happen.
That didn't happen because I think you started to study in the Sorbonne, Paris 1, when you were here, no?
Yes, I did. So I did a licence 3, so the third year of a bachelor in art history at the Paris 1. Mm-hmm.
So you studied music and then you did art history. And then somewhere along the road, Mariamne, you realized that journalism, both radio and written, was your actual path. Can you tell me about that turning point when it happened for you?
Sure. I don't know if it was a very sharp turning point. So even when I was doing my music degree, I always like to listen to news in the morning, write things. And then before my last year of my music degree, I actually did an internship with the BBC in London for a month. And I absolutely loved it. It was the BBC, they were covering the proms. So it's like a month long or several months long event in London, actually. And I just realized, wow, okay, I can maybe combine journalism with culture, two things I love. And then when I came here in Paris, I kind of just slowly built up things. I started working at WRP. I started helping with the AWE magazine, and it kind of just took up from there.
One thing snowballed into another when you met other people and everything. And while you were living in Paris, you've been very active, Mariamne, in your years here. You did a journalism course at distance with Michigan State University, and you also did another course at distance in feminism and social justice at the University of California, Santa Cruz. What was that like, living in Paris, but studying for courses based out of American universities?
So I actually did those courses during the first or second lockdown. So I feel like I was still in Paris, but studying in the US on these courses. And I feel like everyone was actually studying online. So it felt like a big community, and it really gave me a great set of tools to apply towards my journalism with the WRP.
It's fantastic that you use that time to do that. I mean, online just kept us all alive with Zooms and, as you said, learning experiences and everything like that. And you also, for African Report, you also work as a translator. And do you find that the mental and linguistic gymnastics involved, is that also a good stepping stone, I'd imagine, for journalism? Because you're working with words so much when you're translating.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have to admit, when I started out my job, I didn't think I'd be able to do it. I didn't train as a translator. But I realized, you know, it's a good translator is a good journalist, and I do know how to write. I'd written pieces beforehand. And yeah, it's definitely a lot of brain power. I finish my days at the office or at home and I'm very tired. But I think you just need to realize, like, what I learned is like the idea of, okay, does this sound French English or does this sound English English? And just really apply that. And I was talking to my, like, reading the articles out loud. I think that helped to improve my translation work. And just in general, I still read the news every day. I still write things, and all that helps towards it.
I know. And I know exactly what you mean about it. Does it sound English? Because at this stage, I don't know. Sometimes I have to read it quite a few times before saying, okay, that might sound English, that one. Yeah. And you also edited articles for the Association of American Women in Europe's newsletter. Editing is also a great skill to have, don't you think? It's
Yeah, definitely. Again, the editing, I was approached by a very lovely lady, Jane Mobile. She actually heads the AEW News. And she was like, Meramne, like, we'd love to have your help on the AEW News. Would you like to edit? And I was like, I've never edited before. How do I do this? And she was great. She really gave me some good tools to help me with that, some good tips. And again, it's... as you get better at editing, you get better at writing for yourself and correcting people. And it's just, all these things are just a process. And I think it's so important. I've really learned how to be patient myself and realize, okay, well, I've been able to learn how to do this. Let's apply that same ethic to then learning this other skill.
Yeah. So it's been very, very much a step-by-step trajectory to get to where you are now at your in your journalism career. And would you say that having your own podcast show, Hidden Paris on World Radio Paris, was a turning point in your career? I know you were even at World Radio Paris before that, because you've been with them since 2018, but you started Hidden Paris in May 2020. So like that whole experience at World Radio Paris, how has that worked out for you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. So I actually heard about WRP from another lady from this AWE organization. She's a journalist. I think she used to volunteer at WRP herself. Her name is Joan. And she knew that I was interested in getting into journalism. And so I contacted David. And so my first few programs for WRP were just 5-minute cultural segments where I'd go to an event and cover it. And then, yeah, during the first lockdown, I realized, okay, I've been doing these 5-minute cultural segments for like about a year, and I think I'm ready to do a podcast. I think I'm brave enough. I really want to work on my interview skills. And yeah, that's how it came about.
And your podcast is for lovers and residents of Paris, and it introduces us to hidden and off the beaten track places in the city of love. Each episode focuses on the history and background of the place, mixed with, you know, lots of great fun conversation. Can you just tell us a little bit about one of your favorite podcasts? I went down the lists and there's some great titles about drag queens and everything. Can you tell us about one that maybe really touched you, or when the people that you met really touched you?
Yeah, sure. Oh my God. I know this is really cliche to say, but it feels a bit like choosing my favorite child. Well, I don't have children, but you get my point. I think one of my favorite podcasts was I interviewed this girl called Lucy, who at the time was going to set up a feminist bookshop. So we talked about obviously the bookshop itself, but we also talked about her views on feminism here in France, in the US, in London. Unfortunately, she hasn't been able to set up a physical bookshop because of COVID, just things complicated the matter. But she has set up an online website where you can check out this book club and get books from there. And I'd say another one that is maybe slightly also fun, but in a different, interesting way, I interviewed this Muslim activist called Yasser Luati to talk about the term Islamo-gauchism, because it had been really popular. Like, it was everywhere in the headlines in France. And I was really interested in hearing from a different perspective. And I think that interview wasn't fun per se, but it was very informative and I enjoyed learning.
Yeah, that's really interesting. In my daughter's university in Saint-Denis, Eric Faisan, one of the most famous Islamic gauchists, is there. And he actually had death threats. He was walking around with bodyguards. He had death threats from the far right, you know. And so he's a very controversial and very interesting teacher for people to have. So, Marianne, your life is very busy at present, and as well as taking on your new role at Radio France International, you're also preparing for your French nationality interview. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of administration papers you have to gather together. And like, before you tell us, what's your current citizenship? Like, what passport do you hold?
So people always get confused about this because, yeah, I rattle off that I'm, My parents are British American, born in Italy, raised in Ireland, US. So my actual citizenships, I have two passports. So they're British and the US. So obviously, because of Brexit, I had to get a titre de séjour, just like every other British citizen. And so that's what made me want to get my nationality, because I want to have a more permanent place in France, and not worry about administration every 10 years.
Yes, the titre de séjour is like going backwards to what we used to have in the old days, which was called a carte de séjour. But having the French nationality is, I would say, it's almost becoming a little bit necessary for people, for British people living here, if they want to stay here for the long term. I mean, the other one looks a bit flimsy by comparison. But Marianne, you also found love in Paris. Can you tell us about where you met your boyfriend? I can recall that it was a very romantic encounter. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, sure. But maybe just before I do, you're asking about the citizenship. So actually, there is a lot of bureaucracy, as you can expect from French things. But you also, I'm actually going to have my interview soon, which again, they ask you questions about French culture, history. So I've been, you know, making and studying my flashcards. And the whole process takes about a year from Paris. So fingers crossed.
Best of luck with that, Marianne. And now on to more important subjects, love.
Yes. So a lot of people my age, actually, you know, they tend to meet people online, which I have met a few people online, didn't really work out. So actually, by the time I met my boyfriend, I was a bit like, I just give up and what's the point? So it was a bit of a meet cute. I was leaving a pub. And he was coming in with a friend, and actually his friend at the time wasn't able to say my name properly. He was calling me Marry Me, which, you know, out of context sounds very dodgy, I know. So he was like, Marry Me, do you know my friend Mohammed? And I was like, no, I don't actually. And he didn't know me either. And we just started talking, and he hit me with a lot of intense questions. It was definitely not your typical first date. He asked me where I stood on certain political things, but I just remember having a really nice chat with this guy that I thought would be a great friend. And then a few weeks later, you know, it just all went from there.
Romance bloomed. Now, your boyfriend's name is Mohammed, and he has French citizenship. However, as we talk today, Eric Zemmour has just announced that he is a candidate for the French presidential elections. Now, what is it like to have a boyfriend called Mohammed in France, where people like Marine Le Pen and Eric Zemmour are presidential candidates, and Zemmour is suggesting things like everyone in France should have a nice French name?
Oh, gosh, I feel like this is a dangerous question because I could go on and on for this. What is it like? As you know, I came from Ireland, and as we both know, Patricia, Ireland is traditionally a very white country. So actually, Mohammed was the first guy I dated outside of my race. And along with the challenges that come with that, I feel like are also societal challenges. And I feel like that's been very evident since being in France. For example, after the Samuel Paty attacks, it was very difficult. We were actually just on a little weekend away in Bordeaux. And I mean, I didn't notice it, but I trust him. He said he had a lot of angry glances in his direction, and just, you know, incidents with the police, just people in general on the street can be very, you know, inappropriate. Sometimes when I'm there and sometimes when I'm not there. So I think it's a real challenge, and it makes me really angry that people like Marine Le Pen and Eric Zemmour, they're happy to, France as a whole, it was very happy to take in immigrants, you know, when we needed them for cheap labor. But now that, you know, after a few years, they decide we don't want them anymore. And what drives me nuts is like, yes, I'm becoming French. My boyfriend has recently become French, but these people are actually more French than I am. And yet their presence in France is being questioned. And I think that's really short-sighted and a bad view of seeing the world, given that it's so globalized now. It's just not the right way to look to the future.
You couldn't have said truer words, Mariamne. And maybe Eric Seymour should remember his own origins from Algeria and just get with it and get a global instead of a nationalist identity. So, Mariamne, to go back to your Radio France International career, it must have been so exciting to see your name on the first byline for your article just last week, I think it was. Your first subject was entitled City of Paris / Speed Limit for Rented Scooters. Can you tell us what it was like getting your first story on the prestigious Radio France International waves? And that must have been so exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I celebrate in true Irish fashion by going out with my friends and, you know, probably having a few too many cocktails. But I mean, in all seriousness, like I didn't study journalism the traditional way. Let's just say a lot of people now, they study bachelors, they study masters. And so there's definitely been a lot of moments in Paris where I felt like, what is the point? You know, I'm not going to get anywhere. I don't have the talent for it. I'm not good enough. All these thoughts like were swirling around my head, and it just felt really good to realize like, no, like my mother actually tells me, she was telling me this recently, that I'm kind of like a steadily like going train. Like I'm just steadily speeding along, and, it's not the most exciting analogy perhaps, but you know, it does get you places. And obviously I still feel like I have a long way to go, but this feels like a great first achievement to have my first paid article in an amazing organization, like you said. And I left the office and I was skipping along and it was a great day.
Congratulations for that, Mariamne. And I like your mum's analogy about the train, but I have to say, I think you're on the TGV, the fast track train, Mariamne. You're not on any slow T or whatever it is. So, I read the article and was very good. You know, it was very controversial. Paris Mayor Annie Hidalgo's questions about, you know, she wants to slash the speed limit for rented scooters, and she also wants to make Paris 100% bikeable. What do you think about that? Because I think for Parisians it's fine, but what about people coming in from the suburbs? What are they going to do with their cars?
Yeah, as I said, I mean, I'm by no means an expert, but what I've read and noticed is that a lot of people feel that Anne Hidalgo is very much the elite mayor, as in that she's for city elites and that she's all about, you know, green initiatives that help the city, but not, you know, people coming from the suburbs who, yes, like a lot of them are dependent on cars. And but I also noticed that a lot of her initiatives have been criticized for being perhaps greenwashing. As I mentioned in my article, even though everyone was very excited to have the scooters, Extinction Rebellion actually led a protest saying, actually, these scooters are not as green friendly. It's just greenwashing. And a lot of people have had that criticism leveled against her. So I think it'll be interesting to see where her presidential campaign takes her, given that she's popular in the city, not so much outside the city. And coming from the countryside myself, it's very important to remember that a country is not its main cities.
Yeah, it was funny to see her on the television last week when she was in the countryside canvassing, and people were like, oh, so you came down from Paris. Oh, you must find it very different here. And, you know, this is really obvious that she is a Parisian, and I don't know if she can ever be accepted as the leader of the whole country, but we'll see. Suspense. Anyway, I know you're really, really busy at the moment, Mariamne, but do you have any future projects in the back of your mind, things that you might like to try later? Or do you have any like ideas, or are you just going to keep on going with all the various projects that you have going on, which, and they're fantastic ones?
Wow. Okay. It feels like a job interview. I love it. But also I'm nervous. So I have to admit right now, my main project is getting my interview nailed and solid. And since it was just my first day at Radio France Internationale last week, I really want to make sure that I have lots of stories to pitch and that I just keep improving in my areas. I'm obviously going to still be doing the podcast because I love doing it. I get to meet amazing people. I get to learn amazing things about Paris, both physical and, you know, ideas about the city. So I think for now, I'm just going to keep, going on my, as you said, TGV train.
And actually, those two work jobs are actually very complementary, because maybe in your podcast, you'll come across such interesting situation, places, historic places, people, that also could feed your articles or whatever. So it's all very, I would say it's all very complementary. And, you did, live that for that time in London. But if you had to make it, if one day somebody said to you, I have this great job for you in Paris, I have this great job for you in London, like which city pulls at your heart the most?
Oh, no, I hope none of my citizenship people listen to this. I have to admit, as much as I love Paris and as much as I feel like I've really grown as a person here and I've met amazing people, and I mean, who knows if I would have met my boyfriend somewhere else, London does keep calling me. Every time I go there, whether it's for a week, a month, I just feel very at home there. I don't know if it's my dad was British, and it's just, this desire to be perhaps closer to my father. I think if there were two perfect jobs in Paris and London, I think maybe I'd take London.
Yeah. Let's hope the French administration is not listening to that particular question. And what advice, Marie-Amélie, would you give to a young person hoping to take a one-way ticket to Paris with the idea of embarking on a career in journalism?
Wow, advice. I would have to say, I wanted to say this earlier, but honestly, there have been so many people around me who have supported me so much. My mother, for example, she found these amazing Guardian masterclasses that are offered nearly weekly. And I think attending those, whether in person or in Zoom, have really helped take on some extra skills. My boyfriend, when I was writing some articles, was always happy to help, edit after me, or, he was great for brainstorming sessions. So I think it's really important to, realize that you can't do it by yourself, that you need, and it's good to have people around you supporting you. And also don't be afraid to take something that perhaps seems maybe little in the grand scheme of things. Like my experience at WRP has been amazing. I've learned so much that I didn't know about journalism. And yeah, volunteer activities as well. The AW News, I'm not paid for that either, but I've learned so much about editing. And don't be afraid of those little steps that all lead towards something. And really appreciate the people around you. Realize that you can learn from anyone, anything. And don't be as hard on yourself as I was, definitely, because that's not going to help in the long term. You just need to be gentle on yourself as well.
Well, I hope a budding journalist heading for Paris, or already in Paris, is listening to that advice, because it's actually great advice. Thank you, Marie-Amélie. But listen, time has flown by and we almost have to wrap up. Thanks a million, Marie-Amélie, for joining us today. And it was great to find out about your life in Paris. And as like so many other people on Turning Points, it seems that Paris has played a huge part in changing the trajectory of your life. Listeners, you can follow Marie-Amélie's WRP Hidden Paris podcasts on at Hidden Paris Podcast. You can also follow her on Instagram at mimsical_93. And we'll also put those links up on her bio on the World Radio Paris blog. Over to you, Marie-Amélie, to say goodbye to our listeners.
Thank you, everyone, so much. Patricia, I had an amazing chat. Thank you for having me on. I'm usually on the other side, obviously, of this interview setup, but it was great to be on the other side this time as well. To anyone coming to Paris, it's definitely a good idea. Keep your chin up. Keep going. Steady, steady, steady train going all the way. Bye, everyone.
That's from Marie-Amélie, who did that and is now on the fast train. Thanks, listeners. See you next time for another Turning Point show. Bye-bye.